I have a step in last minute, always game radio interviewee. Justin Osagen is with us. I know you've heard him before. He is a local farmer and active in many areas of our community. Thank you so much, Justin, for being here this morning.
Well, thanks for the last minute call. It's always an honor to be called upon.
Oh, yes. Well, it's really nice to have people like you that are comfortable just giving us updates without a lot of practice. And there's always stuff to talk about. Here we are in the dead of winter. It's been quite a few months since we've talked. And we're interested in hearing about how the weather is affecting or not affecting. First of all, how much snow do you have? You're a couple of miles off the lake. And then second of all, with these cold temperatures, is there anything you can do to protect your buds especially?
Yeah. So, you know, we've owned this farm we're coming up on 8 years now. And my goal was always to raise perennial fruits. And what that means to me is blueberries and strawberries and some gooseberries.
Yeah.
And it took a few years to get those established. Those fruits, the plants will set a fruit bud in the autumn. And if we get super cold weather, sometimes those fruit buds can get killed. And of course, then you don't get fruit the next summer. So one thing that I'm fretting over right now is that we've got this cold snap and we don't have that much snow on the ground. The snow, although it's cold, actually serves as insulation for the bushes that produce the fruit. So anyway, we've not had much snow this year. We do have about 10 inches on the ground, but of course my blueberry plants are about 3 feet tall now. So they're not covered by snow and they're just out there subject to the cold winds that are blowing through this past week. And so I'm worried a little bit that I might have a smaller harvest of blueberries and gooseberries. The strawberries, of course, are just low to the ground. The tops die back. They're covered with snow. I think they're going to be okay. But, you know, I always have to remind myself that there's a reason nobody gets rich in farming. And that's because you're subject to whatever Mother Nature throws at you. And to a large degree, you know, you're handicapped in what you can do to mitigate what she gives us. But you just roll with it.
Yeah.
And you deal with what Mother Nature gives you.
Right. And I like to remember that blueberries are a pretty long-standing, I mean, I guess maybe the tall, like wild blueberries are maybe lower to the ground, but blueberries have lasted many centuries here. Take heart in that.
That's right. And, you know, although the fruiting buds might get killed, the plant in all likelihood is going to survive. They're resilient plants. They've been up here in the Northland for centuries and centuries. So the plant would survive even if we get a little bit less fruit. And, you know, I'm just reminded as we go through this cold snap, and I've been spending my winter evenings sitting by the wood stove here, leafing through seed catalogs and circling things that I'd like to grow or things that I've had success with in the past that I know sell well and are popular with the community. And I'm always reminded that no market garden is as wonderful as the one that we create in our minds on these cold winter evenings. All of the hard work, you know, we're not thinking about that. We're just thinking about this bountiful harvest, concerns about pests or deer pressure or drought. You know, these things are far away in the back of the brain. And, you know, in my mind, I've built the most beautiful market garden that I will ever have. And I have to tell you, it's leafing through those seed catalogs on these cold winter nights. That's really what gets me through these winters that we have up here in northeastern Minnesota.
Yeah, some people go to Central America. You just look at those catalogs in front of your fire. Are there any anything you can tell us about what you're going to plant next year that is ringing your chimes so deeply?
Well, you know, my good sellers of produce, you know, not the fruit, but the produce, beets are always super popular. And I always try to get a variety of beets, some that are going to come on really early, where I'll get a beet crop within about 6 or 8 weeks of planting those seeds, as well as some later beets that are going to store really well that I can sell through the winter. So beets are always so good. snap peas. And I tell you, I just had a miserable crop of snap peas last year. I got fantastic germination. And then one morning I walked out and deer had jumped my fence and just went right down the row and gobbled down every pea. So anyway, the peas are always such a good seller for me. Who doesn't love a fresh, crunchy snap pea, right?
Right.
I have to tell you about peas. As I was a kid, and I grew up with a market garden. My mom was a school teacher, and she had her summers off, and she had a gang of four kids who were free labor. So we raised produce every summer to sell. And she would always grow peas that you had to shell, the English peas. And so the only time we could ever watch TV during the day is if we were sitting in front of that TV with a giant bucket of peas to shell. So since then, I have horrible memories of shelling peas for hours on end. And so I only grow snap peas now, the kind that you don't have to shell.
The truth comes out.
It's so funny, the baggage that we drag into adulthood from our childhoods, right?
Right. But it does also help me see a little bit where you're coming from. If you definitely grew up within the soil, whether you liked it or not.
Yep, exactly. You know, so much of winter on the farm is getting ready for the next growing season. And, you know, I've got chickens right now. They're laying eggs like gangbusters. Mm. Despite the cold, I don't have light on them.
Really?
So the eggs are doing really well. But a lot of my winter is spent in the garage fixing machinery, building displays for my farmer's market stand, lots of inside work, things that, frankly, I'm not going to have time to get to repairing that tractor next summer.
Right.
You know, when I'm busy out there weeding and harvesting the fruits and vegetables that I grow. So I always value the slower season in the winter.
That I can see how you get yourself through it. I mean, keeping moving in that way and also being outside still, even though if it's a cold garage, I'm sure helps. And,
oh, that garage is heated. Believe me. I'm not
okay.
Oh, yeah. No, we've got wonderful in-floor heat. It means I never get into a cold car on one of those 30-degree below zero mornings.
Wow.
So, oh, yeah. Yep, I heat that garage. So,
but it keeps you happy. I know it's sort of like my husband, Mark. He spends a lot of the winter in our boat, and he also heats it up, and it keeps him happy out there to keep working, doing all the projects he didn't have time for in the summer. So once again, very similar. And then anticipating this summer, is there a plan for a farm trail similar to last year?
Oh, sure. So last year was the inaugural year of the Clover Valley Farm Trail. And we had 11 farms participating. Customers could drive from farm stand to farm stand and purchase farm products directly from the farmer. We had a number of inquiries from folks who want to join that. And so this coming week, those 11 founding members of the Farm Trail, we're all going to meet. We're going to evaluate who wants to join, what they're offering. And that Farm Trail will return for 2024 a little bit bigger and much better than we had in 2023. That Farm Trail got so much fantastic press, not only up here in northeastern Minnesota, but statewide. It was just, when we envisioned that, I thought it was going to be this rinky-dink little local thing. But wow, did we get some good PR.
Wow.
And the whole thing was successful. Just a reminder to listeners, that Farm Trail is going to start right about Memorial Day weekend and run through mid-October. Because we're selling farm products, the items that we sell will change throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, a lot of farmers start selling bedding plants. And then as crops come on, the earliest crops, the peas and the beets, those are going to be available early. As we get into August, the corn and tomatoes come on. So, you know, if a customer drives through that farm trail in early June, they're going to find completely different products if they go back through it as we get towards Labor Day weekend.
Right. And I also know, I mean, it is really fun to know your farmer at least enough to know where they are. And I just, it was just such a brilliant idea to minimize the labor of the farmer, but make their goods available throughout the season.
Yeah.
And I'm just so glad people responded. And, you know I drove through a few times when I was looking for things, and often things were sold out. Like, I was not the first one coming through. And
sure.
It also helped me because I was able to contact a couple of the farmers in the fall and get some sort of real specialized things that they still had. And I just drove to the farm, and it was just sitting in the fridge there that they had kept out throughout, you know, for the season. And just so easy. I never even saw them, actually, because they were out. But, yeah, it's really just a really, really good system, and I'm so glad it's in place.
Yeah, I think all of the farmers on the trail are happy to have special orders from customers.
Yep.
If someone contacts us and say, next Tuesday, I need 20 pounds of tomatoes because I'm going to make salsa, it allows us to anticipate for that, set back the produce. That way it's definitely available to you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Justin, how, I mean, I know there's a brochure. Does that have people's phone numbers? Or how, like, if some listener is really interested in this, how do they contact you or how do they get involved?
Well, in general, the best ways to contact the farmers are to come through the farmers market in Two Harbors. That's every Saturday from 10 to 1. Many of the farm trail vendors are also selling at the farmers market. And so that's going to be the best place to make that face-to-face contact, to have a conversation. For the farm stands, and that farm trail opens or operates on Sunday afternoons, many of the farmers kind of hang out near the farm stand, but not all. I had a number of people just come up to the house. A lot of times when that farm stand is operating, I'd be out mowing the yard or picking fruit. And it was always great when somebody would wander up the driveway and have questions or want to place a special order. And you can always leave a note at the farm stand if there's nobody obviously available for you to talk to and you've got some questions.
Yep. Yeah, but I agree. The best way is really to come on Saturday at least once and just sort of meet people, and then you figure out, you know, any further contacts you might want to make. And just such an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, you know, this is a nice bunch of people who run these farms. And a buddy who used to help me out at the farmer's market would always say, you know, nobody comes to the farmer's market angry. You know, it's a happy place. And
a
I agree
place.
With that.
Yeah.
It's just a great community type of event.
Yeah, you're getting me all excited for the year coming up. So, all right, but we're out of time. Thank you so much, Justin. And
great. Thank you, Katya.
You bet. We'll have you on again. Bye-bye.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
That was Justin Osagen. He is a local farmer here in the Two Harbors area.